kingdom is joy. Amen. Beginning to experience that and see that more often. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, the letter to the church at Rome, Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God." How many want to be acceptable to God? Amen. So we need to serve Christ in that way, in righteousness, peace, and in joy. So if we're not serving the Lord in the joy of the Holy Spirit, we're not acceptable to God. I'm just reading the Bible. Okay? I'm just saying, it's that imperative. It's that there's that much of an injunction. It's acceptable to God and approved by men. The kingdom of God is righteousness, it is peace, and it is joy. I am compelled to emphasize the joy of the kingdom for many reasons, as we have already stated. But one of them is because we too often, or historically, joy is seen as some sort of an elective. But Paul clearly says that serving Christ in the joy of the Lord is acceptable to God. Too often joy is seen as occasional or it is not seen at all. But here's the fact. Let's just get right to the fact. Joy is the nature of God. And therefore it is the nature of His kingdom. And further, it then therefore is an integral and an important aspect of kingdom living. God possesses joy. Amen? Amen. And what God possesses, He
provides.
What God provides joy, and what God provides, He
prescribes.
And what God prescribes, we. So where are we now? We are on, believe it or don't, we are actually on prescribe. And I'm not even going to review provide. I know, because I've reviewed it. So you got it. So God provides joy. If you don't believe me, you got there's 4 weeks of stuff to listen to on the internet or whatever. Okay? So God possesses, He values joy, and He provides it. So here we're let's start right in these closing 15 minutes. Let's just look at God prescribes joy and see how far we can get. In providing joy, God gifts us freely. Say gives.
Yes.
He gifts us freely with the substance and nature of His own presence. In providing joy, God gifts us freely with the substance and the nature of His own presence. In prescribing joy, everybody understand the word prescribe is the same word you get when you get a prescription. It is a recommendation, a recommended dose from an authority figure to heal what ails you. God prescribes joy. Take 3 or 4 of these and call me in the morning. In prescribing joy, God invites us to participate in or be partakers of His divine nature. And in prescribing joy, God invites us to rightly respond to truth. In prescribing joy, God is inviting us to not only to partake or participate in His nature, but for us to respond, to correctly, rightly respond to that which is true. We're going to just wrestle with that thought for a moment this morning. God prescribes joy because it is His nature, and it is. Joy is the necessary and appropriate response to truth. Let me say it again this way. Joy is the logical and compelling response to truth. In other words, if certain things are true, then it is logical and compelling to respond to those things. So, if God is good, okay, if God is, these are things that are true. If God is good, is that true?
Yes.
If God loves me, is that true?
Yes.
If God rejoices over me, if His presence is joy, if He is working for my good, if perfect love casts out all fear, I could go on. If all these things are true, then the necessary and appropriate and really logical response to that truth is
joy. If you take away fear, if you take away despair, if you take away hopelessness, and you inject hope in an infinitely good and great and loving and gracious God who lives and loves and acts in the now, then what you have left with is joy. Therefore, God prescribes
joy.
It is a response to truth. God is serious about joy. When God prescribes joy, he takes the how do I feel o meter off the table. Do any of you have a how do I feel o meter? The truth is, most of us wear our how do I feel o meter on our watch or on our wrist. We keep it. And pretty much almost everything, except for that which we are forced to do, is subject to the influence of the how do I feel-o-meter. If I'm in a mood, if I feel motivated, it's a principle of social behavior, that ability times motivation equals performance. No matter how able you are, if you don't feel like it, you won't do it. Or you won't do it well. But in prescribing joy, he takes this thing of, well, my gosh, I just feel so good. I just feel so happy. I mean, look, we came to the sun is up for, you know, it hasn't been up for 14 months in Vancouver, and I just feel so happy, so I'm going to just feel like, but if it's cloudy, or if I got a flat tire, or if it's a little, I don't feel like it, well, then joy is irrelevant. See, in prescribing joy, he takes the how do I feel-o-meter off the table. Because feelings, the way we feel in a moment, feelings do not determine what is true. Feelings respond or should respond to what is true. So in prescribing joy, hear me, church, in prescribing joy, God wants us to cease from being enslaved to our moods and live in the strength of his presence and according to that which is always true. Why does God prescribe joy? Joy is a byproduct of a restored relationship with God. Joy is also the result of a renewed frame of reference. That frame of reference is that set of foundational truths through which we interpret and respond to our life. Joy is a result of a renewed frame of reference. Someone say renewed.
Renewed.
A renewed frame of reference. If that phrase doesn't resonate with you, just go right to Romans. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. To have a renewed mind means to have a reformatted frame of reference. And when that frame of reference, that central thing through which we process all of life, is challenged and confronted and reformed, that is the most transformational thing that happens to us. That's how we are transformed. Someone say that? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. Joy is the result of a renewed frame of reference. The old frame of reference, the old way, The old assumptions that I have about life or about the way things are or are going to be or misunderstandings about God, when I live according to my mood, it makes me a grump. The old way leads me to be a grump. It leads to regular anger. It leads to melancholy. It leads to being sour. It leads to an approach of life that almost too frequently is just, well, bah humbug. That's a setting to an old frame of reference. But joy, when God reformats that frame of reference and I begin to understand that which is true about God and His Word and His promises and His power and His providence and His very presence, that new frame of reference is changed. That new frame of reference is joy. And instead of a bah humbug, it's hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, that's not just a bumper sticker statement. It literally is hallelujah. Everybody say that. Hallelujah. Now that is, little Hebrew lesson for all of us, a Hebrew lesson, that is a second person masculine imperative. So it's actually addressed to all the dudes. That word is we say, oh, hallelujah, like it's an expression. It's actually an imperative, a command. So hallelujah is all you dudes. Listen. Say all you dudes.
All you dudes.
Now that's not leaving out the women. It's just that they already are there. But, right? Okay? But it's written to the Hebrew, and so if you're addressing the masculine, it's gonna, they want to make sure that no one's left out. So it's just, it's a comprehensive imperative. But it's all you dudes, everybody, all of you, Hallel. All of you, Hallel. Someone say Hallel.
Hallel.
All of you, Hallel. Now, what does Hallel mean? Now, let's just be candid. I'm not trying to prescribe, but let's just be candid. What does Hallel mean? It means it means to celebrate. That's the root of that Hebrew is to celebrate. If you will, I don't think anybody's any stuffiness is left in the building, but it means be foolishly clamorous. Celebrate like that. Hallelujah means all of you celebrate the Lord. But that's the result. That's the result of a new frame of reference. God is good. God loves me. God, I know who is. I know God's person. I know His power. I know His promises. I know what He has done. I have the testimony. I have the testimony of what He has done. The promise of what He will do. So in this moment, I live choosing to rejoice. In this moment, my confession and my behavior is hallelujah. Yeah. Your life will be changed most significantly and permanently to the degree that your frame of reference is recalibrated, informed, and grows in accord with that which is true. When information or revelation and experience, that frame of reference is transformed. So we say again, joy is the result of a renewed frame of reference, a new set of foundational truths through which we interpret and respond to our life. The alternative is to live out of fellowship with God and according to a flawed frame of reference, which will lead to fear, anxiety, depression, cynicism, criticism, complainingism. So to the one who might say, all this talk of joy isn't really for me, I would have to ask, well, how is the alternative working out for you? So then, God prescribes joy. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So be it. Is that true? So let's just take a look at how He does. Normally, I would start with this, but let me just show you some scriptural prescriptions. I look at the ones that are actually injunctions or prescriptions to rejoice. These aren't all of them, but they are some good ones. All right? So here, this will be on the PowerPoint. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all, and how many does all include?
All.
Okay, good. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Everybody who takes refuge in the Lord, the injunction, the prescription is be glad. Psalm 32 and verse 11. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. These are prescriptions from the Lord. This is the Lord prescribing this attitude and behavior from your life. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Psalm 33, 1. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. It's fitting. It's appropriate. It's the compelling, logical response to that which is true. According to God's presence and His promises and all of His precepts, and I love those P words, okay? All those things, it's fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise looks good on you. Praise looks like the right thing for you to do. It's not fitting for you to do otherwise. Psalm 66, verse 1. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Someone say, shout with joy.
Shout with joy.
Shout with joy. Psalm 98, verse 4 says, shout for joy. And so does Psalm 100, shout for joy. So you, either way, I know we kind of tease about this, and these are just prepositional phrases, but If you've got, you know, joy is an expression of worship. So you shout with joy. Let joy, you know, shout with it. Give joy to the Lord, but also shout for it. If you don't got it, shout for it. I mean, you know, just decide to rejoice. Okay, so Psalm 66, shout with joy to God all the earth. Psalm 97, verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Psalm 81, verse 1, sing for joy to God our strength. We sing that song. Sing for joy to God our strength, shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Psalm 98, verse 4, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. Listen to this. Burst into jubilant song with music. You know, we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. Shout for joy all the earth. See how comprehensive God is searching. God is seeking for those who will worship, for all of creation and redemption to worship him with joy. He values that. We've covered that. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Listen to these commandments as God gave the people of Israel as they are settled into the promised land. And listen to the principles he gives them in their promised land because they reflect the kind of life we live now or should live now. He says, there in the presence of the Lord your God. That's where we live. That's what defines our life. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and rejoice. You shall. Someone say, we shall.
We shall.
This is a shall. This is a command. This is an injunction. But listen, but understand what's happening here. This is you and your family sitting together around in your own homes as you're eating. And what does the Lord say? You shall eat and shall rejoice. Joy is for your home. Joy is for your kitchen table. Now, there might be some of you that now suddenly you just now had a faith challenge. I would be interested to rewrite some of Deuteronomy in a contemporary template, because I think some of it would say as you're riding in the SUV or you're all in the minivan, you shall rejoice. Joy, God prescribes, there is the promise, the prescription of joy for your home. Joy, your homes can and should resonate with God's presence. What a wonderful kingdom we live in, right? But listen to this. Your family shall eat and rejoice. You shall eat and rejoice in everything you put your hand to. Because the Lord your God has blessed you. So joy is for your home, and joy is for everything you put your hand to, whether it's volunteer, whether you're getting paid for it or not, right? Whether it's your volunteer work, you're retired, whatever it is that your hand finds to do, joy is for, in other words, joy is for your home and for your vocation. God prescribes joy in all those places. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and to his strength. Seek his face always. Psalm 40 and verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Psalm 97, 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. And then listen to these. Just a small excerpt from Paul. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord
always.
Come on, say it again. Rejoice in the Lord
always.
And again I say,
rejoice.
Did anybody ever sing that song? Did you ever sing it as a round?
Yeah.
It's fun. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
And in case you didn't get it, he says, and I will say it again.
Rejoice.
Right. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. He writes to a different church, and he simply says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Hey, Dev, how come you're talking about joy so much? Because God does.
because God does. He prescribes it. It is the response. It is an invitation for us to share in His presence, in His nature. And it is the truthful, honest, compelling, right, fitting response to truth. God prescribes truth.